Welcome to Crystal Clear Finances, where we understand finances can be confusing. You don't have to face it alone, and you can have confidence for every financial decision. My name is Crystal Langdon, and I am joined by my co-host, George Amador III. Gee, it's great to have you here.
Yes, thank you so much. It's always great to be here. And again, I'm super excited to talk through this entire series of Established Financial Freedom and understanding you can control your finances. Mm. And I wish I could scream that from the rooftops because it is something that is so key. And when we understand that we can unlock the control cycle, we can unlock where we are at with our personal finance and get away from the zero line and generate that wealth, we have so much impact, not only in our world, but in the kingdom. And it's something that I feel called to. I know you do as well. Mm-hmm. And it's awesome that we get to talk about this week.
I wish that we could just, well, in fact, I will. I'll encourage our listeners to go back to next week because, yes, you can do that, whether it's on our YouTube channel or on our Crystal Clear Finances page.
Yep.
And just go back and listen to that control cycle and see where you find yourself in it. Because too many people are thinking there's only a saver or a spender. And oh no, we were called to be wealth creators. Yeah. And regardless of the amount of money that we make, regardless of what's going on in our life, God doesn't play favorites. We have the ability. His word says that what we put our hand to will prosper.
Yeah.
But we got to get out of that control cycle of letting the wrong things control us. Mm-hmm. And we need to be able to focus on what we're called to do.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was powerful last week. Boy,
really
I had my preaching on and it was good. So
really good stuff. No, it was great. And so this week, as we're kind of moving forward, let me kind of recap a little bit, right? We're talking about the controlling your finances, right? And we understand that how do we take control? We first have to educate, then we have to apply it to our lives, then we implement the process. And so this week and next week, I love that we're talking specifically about money misconceptions.
Yes.
Right? And what are some of these misconceptions that we've either heard, we've seen with our own eyes, or we've done some of them. And really, this is getting back to that education, application, implementation piece. And I just want to harp on this because it was 2 weeks ago. Just because you get educated on something does not mean you have to implement that. We first have to make sure that we can apply it to our lives.
Absolutely.
Because we are going to talk about some powerful stuff over the next couple of weeks of how money works and some common misconceptions that are out there. And I know that people are going to listen to them, hear them, educate themselves, and go, I want to do this.
Right.
But we have to not skip step two. We have to make sure we can apply it. And if it works in my personal life and I can apply it to my situation, then give us a call and let's go through it. How does it actually work? How do I put the plan in place? You know, I think about today. Today's really a lot about rate of return and investment return, average versus actual. We talk about strategy. And a lot of times when we look at rate of return, that is, and when I hear people talk all the time, like the number one thing they think about with their financial plan is, I have to get a better rate of return. I need more rate of return. Or am I getting the best? What about when I'm not getting a good rate of return? Their whole financial life revolves around this idea of I need more rate of return. When in all reality, and I say this a lot, your investments are just part of your financial plan.
Right.
Remember, our 3-2-1 approach, savings, investments, protection, that's one leg of the three-legged stool.
Right.
And we can't just say, I have to invest or I need all of my investments to earn me and that's the end of it, because that's not the financial plan. It's part of the financial plan.
Exactly.
And so we're going to hit on a lot of that today, and it's going to be really good.
Well, and one of the things I just want to comment on what you said a moment ago is that skipping that second, that middle step. We hear something and then we try to go do it. And that application, I think that's why, so many times when we sit down with individuals, we'll look at whether it's their life insurance policy or what they're invested in, and we are thinking, oh my word. And we understand that people are getting hurt. I mean, financially set back on things they have to overcome because they were in such a rush to quick get it into place. And I always say, if it's a good idea today, is going to be a good idea tomorrow. And so we need to slow down just enough. I mean, not stop and stand still. Hello, we got to get some things done here. But we've got to make sure that what we're doing is saying, okay, I've heard that. How does it apply for my situation? Look at it in a holistic view. Like you had said in last week's program, don't just focus on that one area and make sure they all fit together, kind of like that Rubik's Cube.
Yeah.
And I do agree. You know, when people are thinking about rate of return, it's their silver bullet. You know, and that's what they think is, if I could only get 20% return, I'd be okay. We would all be okay if we got 20% return every year.
Yeah, sure.
But what we have to understand is there is no silver bullet in financial planning. Mm-hmm. I mean, every once in a while, you hear about the person who bought the right stock at like $2 and it's now $2,000.
Yeah.
But that's rare. And we've got to stop entering into that conversation thinking that rate of return is the answer.
Yeah, absolutely. Or I get this all the time. You know, I wish I would have never sold XYZ company, because if I didn't sell it back when I did, I'd be a millionaire today. And to be honest, my reaction to that is, no, you wouldn't, because you would have eventually sold it again. Like, I actually had somebody tell me one time that the only way to make money in the market is to never sell. And I find that interesting, because if you never sell and actually make a profit, did you actually make any money? Yeah. Your account can go up as much as you want it to, but if you don't actually sit there and press the sell button to capitalize on that gain, you haven't actually gained anything yet. Your account value might be going up, but you haven't seen any money in your pocket. And I tell people all the time, you never get hurt taking a profit.
Well, gee, one of the things that it's funny that you bring this up, because I had a conversation just the other day where they said, hey, Crystal, I'm calling because we specifically had invested this way so that when it reached a certain point, we were going to take our gains off the table. Mm. And that was such an enjoyable process of being able to say, yeah, here's the rate of return. And we just took all the gains off the table, put it into a different investment. And some of it we kept in cash to invest in the next time that there was a market pullback. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got to be strategic with it. It's not about buying it, holding it forever and ever, amen. Mm-hmm. There's strategies that come in it. But that rate of return, I think it trips a lot of people up.
It does. And really where that comes from is, when we go back to talking about definition of financial freedom, I think a lot of times people equate the market to their definition of financial freedom.
Good point.
If the market's doing really well, I can relax. Like, things are okay and my money's going up, so I can breathe. And when the market goes down, oh my goodness, I have to be super tight with my cash and I can't go out and buy the things I want to. And then I get this anxiety and stress because the market's down. Well, that means the market's your definition of financial freedom.
Yeah.
And if that is the case, I feel sorry for you genuinely, because that's just a stressful life that
it
I
is.
Couldn't imagine living in. Like, don't look again at the market as the source for your financial plan. Your 401k shouldn't be your only asset. Mm. Now, if it is, let's have a conversation to make sure that we can look and get other assets. So it's not that, oh my goodness, I only have one thing and I'm stuck. Mm-hmm. But we shouldn't have to sit here and just look at rate of return as my silver bullet, as my answer to all of my stressful questions, because the rate of return and the market's just going to add stress to your life and make it harder to sleep at night, when really I'm all about my clients passing the pillow test.
Oh, right? You talk about that all the time.
Sleep at night. Can you sleep at night? Can you pass the pillow test knowing that your money's doing what it's supposed to? And it goes back to what we're talking about. Take control of your finances, establish financial freedom. So I want to jump into a little bit of the return conversation. So let's talk specifically about return and average versus actual rate of return, and what we really look at when are we trying to get more or less, and how does risk play into it? And so let's jump right into that.
Now you're talking my language again. So when we think about rate of return, so I'm going to ask my listeners a question. If I was able to, and for compliance purposes, I am not saying that I can, but if I was able to get you a 25% return, okay, I can't see you, but you can raise your hands at home. How many of you would be like, sign me up all day long, all night long, 25% return? I heard that is the way to go. Now, let me show you how this could possibly happen. And again, for my radio listeners, this is something you can see on our YouTube channel. Hit subscribe, and every time we open our mouths and we do our programs, you'll be able to see this. So let's pretend that you came to my office and you said, I have $50,000, and Crystal, I want to get that 25% return that you were talking about. So we invested the money, and wouldn't you know that the very first year, whoop, whoop, we did phenomenal. And so your $50,000, we got 100% return, so we did 100,000. And again, for compliance purposes, this may not be factual. All right, so the very next year, well, the very next year was not a good year. In fact, we had a 50% negative that it went this year. But you said, you know what? you did really good for me the first year. I'm going to hang in there with you, Crystal. And you didn't leave. You kept your money in there. And wouldn't you know, because you hung in with me, we were able to reposition some things. And the next year we got 100% return. And now you are loving life again. Things are good. We're back up to 100,000. And let me just add one more year. So year number four, we did, the market goes down. And once again, what do we have? A minus 50%. Now, before I go any further, I want to talk to my radio listeners, what my YouTube subscribers are seeing on their screen. The first year, we had 100% return. Can we say hallelujah? Second year, yeah, not so good. We're not a singing. So we had minus 50. Third year, though, we got 100% again. And the fourth year, we had 50% again. So everyone who sees that, I want you to understand something. If you average those together, what did I give you? That's right. 25. That's right here. That 2 and 5 next together, it is a 25% return. So, gee, basically, over the period of 4 years, I was able to prove how my clients could get a 25% return. But let's just scroll over here and see what was the actual return they received. Zip. Nada. Zero. Mm. And in fact, they started with 50,000 and 4 years later, even though they had a 25% average rate of return, their money never changed.
Yeah.
See, there is a difference between averaging things together mm-hmm. and what you actually get.
Yes.
So when people come into our office and they say, oh, I want an average rate of return of blah, 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 mm-hmm. that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to make money.
That's right.
So do you want me to make you money or do you want an average rate of return?
That's good. That's really
what
good.
Are we looking for?
Yeah, and it's really, really important. I mean, that's a key principle to investment management right there.
Huge.
Because a lot of times people will shop around investment advisors based on return.
And that's scary.
It is scary because at the end of the day, what we just showed you with real numbers in front of you here, that I could average you, quote unquote, 25% rate of return, and from point A to point B, you made $0.
Mm.
It's crazy to think that that is actually out there. And we're not fudging the numbers.
No.
We're not making this up. Like, at the end of the day, an advisor can tell you they can average you whatever they want. In fact, with compliance and everything else out there, if an advisor is telling you that they're going to average you something, I would watch out.
Run fast.
I would definitely watch out. Because really, when we look at all of this, we have to sit there and say, it's not about average rate of return. Mm-mm. It's about what is my money actually making me? You know, I think back to last week, you gave a great example about rather than trying to find one more percent rate of return, mm-hmm. if I'm making 5%, hey, I want to make 6%. I want to average another percent higher, or I want to actually get one more percent higher. We really should be looking at, well, how much money is that? Like mm-hmm. dollar for dollar, if I can save 1% of my income versus earn one more percent on an average rate of return, I could actually be well ahead
exactly.
simply because of where I'm putting my money. Again, back to control. This all has to do with how are we controlling our money? Are we controlling it or is it controlling us? And if I'm shopping around advisors to find the best average rate of return, mm-hmm. Crystal just showed here, that doesn't actually equate to any more dollars.
Right.
And so we have to really look at this and say, what am I actually getting? What is really in the balance here? My 401k, my IRA, my investment account, yes, we want to make money.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we would like averages or actuals to be good. I'm not saying
right.
it shouldn't be good, but what I am saying is you got to look at what's behind the number here
mm-hmm.
and really open up the playbook and go, am I doing the right thing?
Yes. And you know what? As I start pondering, like, why is it driving them that they ask this? I really think it's because the financial community has taught people this is what you ask. And because many people are looking at finances, they're confused about it, they seem complex, they figure out, well, what are the acceptable questions I need to ask so that I don't feel stupid when I'm going to a financial advisor?
Yeah, totally.
And so I think that's what they're using. But if now they can see it, now that gives you a whole nother perspective. And what I want to do, we'll take a quick break, but when we come back from the break, what's so important, G, is if people do not understand how critical this is, They'll be sold a bill of goods when they move into retirement, and literally they'll run out of resources before they run out of retirement. And we can't let that happen. So let's take a quick break and then we'll be back with more crystal clear finances. You say tomato and I say tomato, yet they both mean the same thing. This is Crystal Langdon with today's financial gem. When you hear the words financial freedom, what comes to mind? For some, it's having the resources needed to live and give without concern of running out of money. For others, it's the ability to leave a job that they don't enjoy, to accept a position with lower pay but higher satisfaction. Regardless of your definition, we all have a form of financial freedom we want to enjoy. The key is defining what financial freedom means to you, then taking the first steps in gaining control over your finances by understanding how money works and how to apply it to your financial situation. Call Crystal Clear Finances today at 518-433-7181 and gain confidence for every financial decision.
And welcome back to more Crystal Clear Finances. My name is George Amador, and I am joined by my co-host. I can't believe we're saying co-host now. This is awesome. Crystal Langdon, it's such an amazing opportunity for us to sit down, kind of rip back the curtain, if you will, and say, hey, this is what's going on behind the scenes.
Right.
We really want to debunk some of these money misconceptions.
Absolutely.
And the average versus actual right before the break, huge one. The second one, for especially those looking at retirement sooner than later, is really, really key to understanding, hey, I need to make sure that I'm not going to run out of money.
Absolutely. I think a lot of times what happens, G, is we see individuals who have gone to a financial advisor, they're ready for retirement, and so they've got a whole bunch of money sitting over in their 401k, and the advisor says, oh, just roll it right over to me. I'll give you 5 or 6% a year. You'll be fine and live happily ever after. Then they have some hiccups in the market. Then there's some things that happen, and before they know it, they're coming to us saying, this is all I have left, and I'm scared. So what we need to do is start really debunking. I like what you said. The myth that, hey, don't worry about it. It's all about an average rate of return. So for my YouTube followers, you're seeing on your screen right now, what I'm showing you is, let's pretend that you have $1 million, right? Because we're saying it's retirement, and again, we're using round numbers. It can be 100,000, it can be 100 million. Okay. So in this case, there's $1 million. And let's say that this individual went to a financial advisor and the financial advisor said, listen, if we go back and look at the S&P, which is right here on our screen, and we go back to 1973 till today, look at, you would have gotten 8.9% average rate of return. Now, what did we just look at before the break? We talked about the difference between average and actual and how you can have an average rate of 25% and really your money didn't grow, which if you're counting on an average rate of return and you think your money's growing and you're pulling money out, that could be a problem. And that's what I want to show you. Because here's this $1 million, the individual's 65 years old, we're going to say, and they are going to take withdrawals till 84. Feel free, they can live longer, but in this example, it's till age 84. And we're going to say that they take a withdrawal rate of 5%. So that's, you know, a lot of times people say, oh, I just need 5%. And what we're going to do is we're actually going to inflate that number, G. We're going to say every year, yes, you get 5%, but it's slowly going to go up to keep up with the cost of inflation. So we figured that in there as well. Now, what I'm showing here on my screen, and I wish my radio friends could see this, is that it shows that this person can take out 5%, which is $50,000, and they'll follow this line, and they will live happily ever after. In fact, this line continues to grow on, and they will never run out of money. In fact, it shows by the time they get to 84, they have $1.6 million. So they took $50,000 a year from age 65 to 84, and yet the account still grew. Well, no wonder they want to work with that advisor. Look what they just promised them. Because they used the average rate. But here's where it gets scary. See, this is what retirees face. They have to find an advisor who's going to work with them. They're sold this bill of goods. And let me show you what a lot of people experience. What happens is, and what I'm going to click on when I click on the button, is literally showing returns that have happened in the past. This specific example showed that in 1973, if they took that 5% out, well, the market was down. The next year, the market was down. And even though the market was only down four or five other times during that whole retirement period, they never made the money back, and they ran out of money at age 82. They ran out of resources, G, before they ran out of retirement. And all that is, I mean, if you are on YouTube, you can see this, but I literally show that in the very first year, the market was down 17%, but because they had been sold the bill of goods that, don't worry about it, we're averaging, that they didn't realize that when they took out that minus 17, they were really taking out minus 22. There was a 22% loss in that account because they took it out just believing everything would average out. It's so important when individuals go to retirement that they not focus on the average, they focus on the actual. What is actually happening this year? Because I can tell you this, if that was my client, I would be saying, no, we're not taking anything out of that account. We're going over to the safe money, back to our 3-2-1.
That's right.
And that's where they would pull it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to just make a crucial point here. When you're looking, especially our retirees who are getting ready, and you're looking for an individual to help manage your money and manage your finances, a key component to all of this is not just looking at that number, but when we look at our comprehensive approach, I think about individuals who go to strictly investment advisors, not financial planners.
Ooh,
and here's the point I want to make, is if you're talking to somebody who is really trying to sell you an investment portfolio or money management, which is not wrong to do. I mean, that's what we do, money management too.
Absolutely.
The issue though comes that it's just kind of a one look at your entire financial life. We're just looking at one area. We're looking at investments. And so we look at that and we say, okay, yeah, I can average you 8%. If you're going to take out 5%, but you're earning 8%, do the math, you're fine, right? You're going to have more money. As Crystal just showed, that's not the case, because the market's never going to get you 8% even every single year. It's not possible. So we have to look specifically at your entire financial plan.
Right.
So back up for a moment. When you're talking to an investment advisor, and here's a big, big, big key. Are they just a money manager, or are they a financial planner? Are they somebody who is going to just manage your assets and get you X percent, or try to get you X percent rate of return? Or are they also going to look at life insurance and your savings accounts and your debts? Are they going to talk to you about estate planning? And how about taxes? Where are taxes going to fit into the mix of all of this? It's really, really important to look at a holistic plan, because your retirement is all you have.
Right.
You're ready to retire. I've built up all of my savings. I've worked very hard to have this money. You deserve a conversation with somebody that is not just manage these assets. A conversation around, hey, what's going to happen if I get sick? What about medical? What about Social Security and Medicare? What about estate planning, long-term care? What about taxation? All of the different pieces that, unfortunately, a money manager is not going to be able to answer. Now, he may have somebody he can refer you to, but at the end of the day, he's specializing in one thing. We here at Crystal Clear Finances are doing all of the above. We are certified financial planners. As a fiduciary, I am not just going to manage your money and that's it. I have to look at your best interest, which means we encompass all of the above that I've mentioned. That's really, really important. And again, back to the point of the illustration on the screen, it's not just about, hey, we're going to earn you more than less. Let me give one practical example. We just had this conversation, right, with an individual who's shopping around. This individual shopping around, trying to figure out which advisor is best for him, right? And so sat down and literally told us, XYZ advisor is going to provide me with this percentage on an average basis. They're going to charge me this percent. And so I know, based on my financial situation, that if they get me the 5.5 or 6%, whatever it was, that I'll be fine. I'll have enough money to live on. Well, here's the coolest part. We sat down after that conversation, you and I, and we brainstormed and we said, well, actually, what if this individual decided not to pull money right away, or excuse me, not to take Social Security right away like this person was planning, and rather pull a little bit extra dollars? Mm-hmm. Now they can wait on Social Security, maybe earn a little bit more money yes. there before they start pulling. And so we had this whole conversation for like an hour after the meeting to say, actually, it's not even about getting 1% or 5% exactly. In fact, this individual wouldn't even need 5% at all doing an alternative strategy, but that doesn't come from an investment manager perspective. That comes right. from a certified financial planner perspective that says we know the rules and laws around all areas of personal finance, that was able to get somebody a lot more money than he thought he even could get.
And gee, I love that you brought up that point. I didn't even think of going down that road, but the fact is true. There is the difference between an investment manager mm-hmm. and a comprehensive financial plan, a certified financial planner, putting it all in place, because I know the conversation you're talking about and how exciting it is going back to that prospective client and saying, oh, and by the way, here's something else you should be considering, because yeah. now it's showing not only are we talking to him about the attorney that we have on retainer, not only are we talking to him about the taxes and different things, mm-hmm. but we're putting multiple pieces together, Roth conversions, all different types of things that can be done
yeah.
because it's so much more than what am I going to invest in.
Yep.
So I appreciate you bringing that up.
Mm-hmm.
So let me just scroll back to this for yep, a moment, absolutely. And then we'll look at, because we're already running out of time again. Because I want to, I've had people say where I've shown this and they say, well, Crystal, yeah, that's a very doom and gloom type of picture, you know, this sure. money that's supposed to run out. Because what if the market wasn't down the first yeah. 2 years? And so what I did, and again, this is something that we're showing on our YouTube channel so you can see it, is I just took the numbers from 1973 until today and I flipped them. And you know what? If that was the case, the individual would make out pretty good.
Yeah.
But here becomes the question. How lucky do you feel?
Mm.
Do you really want to base your whole retirement on saying, well, if we flip this and if numbers go to here and here and then this averages with this, really?
Yeah.
How are we passing the pillow test?
Yeah.
We need to understand that when we step into the retirement sphere, we have to look at actual.
Yes.
So I would say when you're meeting with clients or when you're meeting with an advisor, what is the actually what's happening in my portfolio?
Correct.
Actually, how is things positioned? You know, there's a question on our risk tolerance questionnaire, and it talks about the fact, it says, if your account was down 25%, would you ask your advisor to sell everything? Would you hold on or would you buy more? Do you know most of our clients pick the middle one? They mm-hmm. say, what I want to do, Crystal, is I'd want to call you.
Mm-hmm.
I'd want to hear what you and G are thinking about it
yeah.
so that I can make a decision about it, but I'd probably hold as long as I can have the confidence
That's
and
right.
have the control to know these are the steps that I need to take.
Yeah, and it's really important. Again, it goes back to what we've said. A lot of the money misconceptions, especially when it comes to the investment world, it's all about rate of return. It's all about how is my money earning. And I'm not saying that we don't look at those things. We obviously need to pay attention to what our money is doing, but it's really about what is our money actually doing. Right? And making sure that my savings, my investments, and my protection is all in place and a comprehensive look, because it goes back to what this entire series is about. I can establish my financial freedom when I know that I am in control of my money, when I can put my investments in place with the right risk, not trying to chase returns so I can afford to live and everything else that we come into contact with. It's really about sitting down and saying, listen, here's what I actually need, George. I have clients tell me all the time, here's my actual needs. This is what I need to have happen. And I can sit here and say, okay, client, here's the actual plan for you to have control of your money.
Oh, that's good. Boy, that'll preach, huh? That's good. So I want to thank our listeners for joining us today. I want to encourage you to give our office a call at 518-433-7181. Let me say it again, 518-433-7181. Give us a call and schedule a conversation. Let's get establishing financial freedom for you, put you in the control seat, the driver's seat when it comes to your finances. So join us again next week as we continue to provide financial clarity so that you can have confidence for every financial decision. Thank you and God bless. This program is for educational purposes only. We understand that finances are complex. facing them alone causes stress, resulting in wrong choices, missing out on opportunities, and having to settle for a lower standard of living. At Crystal Clear Finances, our team approach focuses on providing clarity and confidence so you can make the right financial decisions.
Investment advisory services offered through AlphaStar Capital Management, LLC. AlphaStar Capital Management, LLC, and Crystal Clear Finances are separate entities.